Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. Folks, it's been crazy the past, couple years or more. Been crazy about all the suicides. Been a lot of suicides. My wife and I've had to deal with her father's death. He committed suicide. That was hard. And he was 92 years old. This guy, Anthony Bourdain, I guess he was on CNN, committed suicide, hung himself, 61 years old. A lady that was head of the magazine, what was her last name?
Spade.
She just killed herself, 55. You see young people going into schools and killing, murdering, and then killing themselves, suicide. And you've got all this stuff going on. You say, what in the world's happening? A man in Hartley just committed murder and then killed himself. You see it all the time. It seems like it's like a daily event, people killing themselves. They got on the news, even on last night, they were saying, if you're thinking about suicide, call this number. And it's amazing how many people, I got a call, a guy said, I'm thinking about suicide. I got a call yesterday, I can't remember what it was. I get calls, people think, I'm thinking about killing myself. And you got all this stuff going on, people are trying, going to commit suicide. And I always said this, I preached funerals of people that committed suicide. One guy, I got a picture of him right in here. I kept a picture of him and his wife or his children, his arms around him, big boy, standing there with his arms smiling, and he took a shotgun, put it in his mouth, blew his head off. And I had to preach his funeral. And I've had to preach funerals of people that committed suicide. And I always tell the family, don't blame yourself. Suicide is a selfish event. People think about themselves. But you say, well, what happens is people get so burdened down with maybe pain or what have you. Saul, you read in your Bible, Saul fell on his own sword. He was wounded, and he fell upon his own sword and died. And then Amalekite says, he went around bragging that he was the one that killed Saul, and it wasn't the truth. Saul fell on his own sword. And David killed, had that guy killed by his own words. David had him killed. But if you're thinking about suicide, I'm going to tell you something. That's very selfish. It's a selfish act. You say, well, you don't know what I'm going through. I tell you, God does. God knows what you're going through. If you're thinking about that kind of stuff, little kids, you hear girls, young girls in elementary school, in middle school, young boys killing themselves because somebody said something about them on Facebook. Somebody put something over Facebook, and then they couldn't take it. They couldn't bear the shame, so they killed themselves. And you think, my God, man. I tell people, I pray. I say, God, if there's somebody going to do something to themselves, somebody going to kill themselves, let me be the one to talk to them before that happens. Let me run into them. Because I got something to tell them. I got something that can help them. And if you're saved, you got something to tell them too. But people think about suicide. Why? Their situation, their finance. Well, they kill themselves over finances. They kill themselves, people kill themselves over health. They kill themselves over other things that's going on in their life. And I've dealt with the thing. I've dealt with people that's committed suicide. And or they had to preach at funerals and deal with the families. And they'll go, why? There is no answer why. really, other than that was a selfish act. And when people think about doing something like that, a guy breaks up with his girlfriend, or a girlfriend breaks up with a guy, or they go through a divorce and people end up wanting to kill themselves. And they end up doing something to harm to themselves and trying to get back at the other person. And like I said, it's always selfish. It's always me involved. And it's always trying to get back at somebody or trying to make somebody think they're going to make them pay for what you're going through. And that's not going to happen. And they're not going to make them pay. You're not going to make nobody pay. It's a selfish act. And in Revelation, I'm going to start here. I'm going to start in Revelation chapter 9. And suicide is in the Bible. I mean, I've had people tell me, well, if you commit murder, you're going to go to hell, right? And I've had people say, well, if you commit suicide, you're going to go to hell, right? Now, I always say this. Here's the answer. If you're not saved, and you, like that guy, Anthony Corbain, or whatever his name is, it was on CNN. He was a chef. He didn't have a child till he was like 50 years old, 49, something like that. And he had a child. And he had a child that was, I think, in his young teenage years or something, or even 11 or 12, somewhere in there. And he's 61. And he ends up hanging himself in France. He said, well, a lot of times you hear people overdose on drugs. Sometimes people go out and try to take drugs just to kill themselves. They get away from a situation and all that stuff. And like I said, that's a very selfish way of doing something. People kill themselves all kinds of different ways. In Revelation, the Bible says men are going to seek death and not going to be able to find it. They're going to try to kill themselves and they ain't going to be able to die in the tribulation. That's going to be crazy. You're going to see people walking around with a knife in their heart and not be able to die. And Revelation chapter 9 and verse 6, it says, in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it. They're going to seek after dying and they're going to take pill, whatever they can do to try to kill themselves, and shall desire to die, and death shall what? Flee from them. It'll flee from them. And they're not going to die. And then they'll end up, you know, at that certain point of time. And then it talks about all hell breaking loose. How men say, they say this, this world is hell on earth. And you read the book of Revelation, folks, this is nowhere near hell right now. I tell people, if you're not saved, this is the only part of heaven you'll ever see. And if this is hell on earth, this is the only part of hell I'll ever see because I'm saved. And if you're saved, this is the only part of hell I'll ever see. People always say, this is hell on earth. No, it ain't. No, it ain't. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care how bad it gets. It's still, this is pretty good out here. I don't care what kind of debt you have and all that stuff. You say, man, I just want to die. I just want to get away from it. No, that's the easy way. That's a selfish way to get out. There's a way, you say, I'm in debt. Well, work your way out of it. You can work and pray. What happens with people, you know what? Like I said, I got something to tell people if they're going to commit suicide. I want to talk about commit suicide. I tell them, first of all, have you prayed about it? You said, well, pray about killing myself? Yeah, pray about killing yourself. Have you prayed about it? I know a guy that was a mafia figure, and he sat down. This guy sat down. He was in Atlanta, Georgia, and he said, man, he was, the mob was looking for him. He had the feds on him, and he said he took a 45 and stuck it and loaded it and stuck it up, and he said he stuck it up under his chin, and he sat there, and he thought to himself, he said, God, if you don't want me to kill myself, then do something. And he said, I've just about pulled the trigger and the phone rang. He said, I thought I answered the phone. So I answered the phone and it was somebody inviting him to church. Amen. They invited him to church. He pulled the gun out, stuck it to his chin, and then somebody called inviting him to church. Anonymously. He went, wow. I wasn't praying it out in my mouth. It was a thought in my mind. And you heard the story about the guy that was getting ready to hang himself. And the guy went to a visitation, kept beating on the door. And he said he felt impressed. The Lord kept allowing him to beat on the door. Finally, the guy was up in the attic. It took him a while to get down. He had a rope around his neck. And he thought, they'll go away in a minute. And then I can hang myself. And he said the guy kept beating on the door. And finally, he said the door opened. The soul winner, he said he was standing there. And the door opened. The guy reached out and said, give it to me. And gave him a track, and he said, thanks. And he shut the door and went back up, put the rope around his neck, got back up on the chair, and he put the track down on a table in front of him. And he said he looked down at the track, and he thought, man, I ought to read that before I kill myself. And he read that thing, got saved. Amen. And that guy that was soul winner, he said he was sitting in a restaurant. He was sitting in a restaurant, and he said the guy had a radio on. It was like some burger joint, and the guy had a radio on, and it was a church service, a tent meeting going on. And he said he heard a guy. It was that evening. He said he heard a guy get on at the tent. The pastor got up and said, "There's a man here just got saved. He's gonna give word testimony like we do around here." And he grabbed the microphone. The guy walked up, and he said, "Sir, did you just get saved?" He said, "Yes, sir." He said, I don't know if the guy's here or not, but a guy came by my house today and beat on the door. He said he wouldn't go away, And here's the guy sitting in the burger shop, sitting there listening to it on the radio. And he said he was sitting there listening, and the guy said, the guy kept beating on the door. And he said, finally, I went down, and I thought, who in the world is this? And he grabbed it. He said, he gave me a piece of paper. And he said, I went back up, put it up in my attic, and I had the rope around the truss of the roof truss. And he said, I put the track down on the table. And he said, I looked at it, and I got down. He said, finally, I thought, I better read it. And I read it, and I got saved. And I just want to testify to this church tonight. Thank you, whoever you are that came by. You saved my life, and God saved my soul. Amen. Here the guy was in the burger shop, and he heard that testimony over the radio, and he went, woo! And man, he went down to that tent meeting and found that guy and hugged that guy and thanked that guy, and that guy thanked him. They cried, had a good time together. I'm going to tell you something. If you're thinking about suicide, I'm going to tell you something. There's something to live for, amen? Amen. There is something to live for. Higher than you, better than you, amen? There's something to live for. I mean, the Bible says men are going to seek death. In the Bible, that you say, is there a suicide in the Bible? Yes, there is. Take your Bible. Look with me Judges. Look at Judges chapter 13. You say, here's a guy had committed suicide. He wouldn't do right. And it always, whenever people get ready to commit suicide, they're always living for themselves. They're always thinking about themselves. They're always wanting what they want, and they won't submit to God. And they won't ask God. They won't pray about anything. They just live the way they want to live. And the devil deceives them and cons them and ends up in hell. They end up in hell. He said, well, because they committed suicide? No, because they rejected Jesus Christ. They end up in hell. And first, in Judges chapter 15, it says Samson ended up, you all know what Samson was. He was a judge of Israel. And he's also in the heroes of the faith. He said, can a person be saved? Can a person go to heaven if they commit suicide? Yes. Amen. Yes. You said, man, preacher, you shouldn't say that because that might be people here thinking about doing something like that. I'm going to tell you something. If you think about doing something like that, you're a fool. Why? You're a fool because you say, well, that's the easy way out. Yeah, but there's something to live for higher than you. There's something. All these people we're hearing about, like I said, you hear about suicide all day in and day out all the time, people committing suicide. If somebody's thinking about committing suicide, I got something to tell you, man. I got something, man. Why won't you submit to God? Why won't you ask the Lord? Why don't you pray about it before you do something like that? Why don't you say, Lord, I mean, you want me to die? And you know what? You know what? A voice will come back and say, why don't you just live for me? Why don't you just give your life to me? And I'll do something with it. But the Bible says over in here in Judges chapter, 16? Or no, it's a little further on down. And Judges chapter 17. No, 16. 16, I'm sorry. Go to 16. 16 chapter verse 28. And Samson called on the Lord. You know, Samson was a judge in Israel, but he had a problem with women. And Samson had a problem with women, and he wanted women, and he wanted more women, and he wanted these women, and he thought that was going to make him happy. You know, isn't it something how you think, what in the back of your mind right now, you're thinking there, if I could get this, it would make me happy. And back of your mind, you got some one thing that, or a couple things that you think, if I could only get this, it would make me happy. Look at this woman that was success in her field as a publisher and of a magazine. She had money. Look at this guy, Anthony. He was a millionaire. This guy was a millionaire, traveled the world, ate the finest cuisine. I mean, this guy ate everything, met. I saw a thing where he met Obama in Vietnam. And they sat down, talked politics in Vietnam. And this guy was known around the world, had popularity. He had money. He had power. And he couldn't find a reason to live. If you think in back of your mind, if I only could have this, this will make me happy. If I could only have her, it would make me happy. If I only could have him, it would make me happy. If I only could have this house, or if I only could have this car, if I could only have this thing, whatever that thing might be, it would make me happy. No, it won't. It won't keep you happy. It won't keep you happy at all. When my brother got killed, I mean, my brother, I stabbed my brother and everything. I hated my brother because he was a Christian, and I stabbed him twice. And man, when he got killed, I thought about killing myself because all the wickedness I had done and all the things I had done even against my own brother. And man, I thought about killing myself. I remember going, getting drunk. I've told you all the story, climbing over the gate at where we just came from. My nephew got shot and killed in a bad drug deal. I just preached his funeral. And I crawled over that place, went over there to my brother's grave, laid on the grave and asked him, forgive me. And I laid out there and I thought about killing myself because what I did to my family, what I did to my brother. Man, I thought about that stuff. And you know what? I thank God the Lord had mercy on me. He gave me a reason to live. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. If you're saved, there's a reason to live. Amen. The devil will work on your mind. But Samson was living for himself, chasing after the women. And God was on him. God was with him. And God blessed him, even though he was, I mean, you think about it. You say, well, you know what we say a lot of times? You say, God's pretty hard up. He'll use any of us in our condition. But he wants you to be holy. He wants you to be clean. He'll use you. And Samson ends up being a judge of Israel, and he ends up, the Philistines get him because he tells Delilah where his power was. It was in a vow that he had made, his parents had made when he was a child and with his hair, and he had a vow, a Nazarite vow, and he broke that vow, and he lost the power. He didn't lose the power by messing with the women and lying and cheating. And all that stuff, he didn't lose the power there. But when he broke the vow, that's where he lost the power. And he got his hair cut. And people say the power was in his hair. No, the power was in the vow that he had made and as a child and reconfirmed it. And Samson called on the Lord and said, oh, Lord, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me. I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may be once avenged of the Philistines from my two eyes. And Samson took a hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, on which it was borne up, of one on his right hand and the other on his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. So Samson committed suicide by allowing this whole thing, the whole place, to come down on him. He brought the house down. He brought the house down. There was another guy in the Bible. Take your Bible, look in 2 Samuel. Look in 2 Samuel. Another guy in the Bible, and he ends up killing himself because the people didn't listen to him. They didn't listen to him. They didn't take him serious. Here he was a great man. And 2 Samuel chapter, I'm looking for Hithatel. Where is it? Yeah, here it is. 2 Samuel chapter 17, back up to 16. Look what the Bible says about Hithatel. And Hithatel chapter 16, verse 23. And see, when David had to run from his own son, David had to run from his son Absalom. Absalom ended up having his brother killed. Say, is that in the Bible? Yeah. David's children, because of David's sin, caused four of his children to die. And I'm going to tell you something. Because our sin is why we suffer. And because of sin in your life is why you think about those things. It's sin in us that calls us to think about suicide. And you'll think about stuff like that. You know, isn't it something how you'll be holding a gun and a voice will say, just put it up to your head. That shows you that there's a real devil. There's a real spirit. We've been talking about on Wednesday night, preaching about the spirit world. And there's a real spirit in the world, man. There's real. If God took the veil off your eyes right now, you looked around and seen what was in here, it'd scare you, have a heart attack, and die. And I'm telling you something. The spirit world is real. And there's a spirit that will come after you. And if you're not yielded to God, they know it. The devil knows when you're not yielded to God. Because the Bible says this. It says, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to thee. Resist the devil, and he'll flee. And what happens is Christians are not drawn nigh to God.
That's right.
And God is not walking with them like he should. He said he'll never leave you nor forsake you, but there's no fellowship like he should. And what happens is they don't resist the devil. They don't have no power. And they end up yielding and listening. And they end up doing stupid stuff. And in the world, there's a spirit in this world right now. The Bible calls it the spirit of the Antichrist. that's in the world right now. And the devil wants to damn people's souls. He wants to send people to hell. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're saved, he can't get your soul, but he can get your life, your wife, your children, your husband, all the other things above. I mean, he can get everything if you let him. And it's real simple. You say, man, it's so simple. It's so elementary that to fight this thing. It's so elementary. Like I said, if I could talk to that guy, Anthony Bourdain, whatever his name is, if I would have had a chance to sit down with that guy, I would say, hey, look at what the Bible says. Here's the answer. Here's what the answer is. Get saved. Trust Jesus Christ, your Savior. Because greater is he that is in you than he's in the world. But what happens to Christians, they don't fellowship with God. They walk away from the Lord. They don't submit to God. And the devil, man, goes after them. He goes after them. And the devil work on your mind. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But look at this. And 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 23. And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, look what it says, was as if a man had inquired at the oracles of God. So was also that counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. Absalom calls him in, and David's running for his life. David's out running with all the mighty men, and David's running, and a guy named Hushai, he sends word to David, says, here's what Ahithophel said to Absalom to do. Here's what I told him. Now, look what the Bible says. And now, he gets counsel from Ahithophel and Hushai, and Hushai tells David, run, get away from him. Don't stay in the wilderness, get out. Get run on. Look at verse 15, back up to 16, 15. And Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel with him. And the reason why Ahithophel was against David was because he was the father of, I believe, Bathsheba. I believe that's right. Or no, one of the two, maybe her husband. He was the father, and he didn't like David. So he went with Absalom. And it came to pass when Hushai the Archite, David's friend, was come unto Absalom, that Hushai said unto Absalom, God save the king, God save the king. And Absalom said to Hushai, is this thy kindness to thy friend? Why wentest thou not with thy friend? And Hushai said unto Absalom, nay, by whom the Lord and this people and all men of Israel choose this will I be with, and with him will I abode. And again, whom should I serve? Should I not serve in the presence of his son as I served in thy father's presence? So will I be in thy presence. And then said Absalom to Ahithophel, give counsel among you what we shall do. And Ahithophel said unto Absalom, go in unto thy father's concubines. He said, go have a relationship with them. Kind of slap your dad in the face, which he have left to keep the house. And all Israel shall hear that thou art abhorred of thy father. Then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong. So they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the mountain, top of the house. And Absalom went into his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. So he defiled, goes into his father's concubines and defiles them as the son. And then the Bible says he was as the oracles of God. Now look what happens in chapter 17. Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will rise and pursue after David this night. And I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid, and all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only. He says, let me go out. I'll take 12,000 men. And he said, I'll kill David. I'll kill him tonight. Let's do it now. And Absalom said, that sounds good. Here's the son of the father. And he's saying, yeah, that sounds good. I will bring back all the people unto thee, and the man whom thou seekest is as it all returned, so all the people shall be in peace. And the saying pleased Absalom well and the elders of Israel. Then said Absalom, call now Hushai the Archite also, and let us hear likewise what he saith. And when Hushai was come to Absalom, Absalom spake unto him, saying, Ahithophel hath spoken after this manner. Shall we do after this saying? If not, speak thou. And so you know the story. He goes down, and he says, no, you know, he said, you know your father's a mighty man. He said, you know he's not going to be with the people. You know he's going to be by himself. You know, and so he's trying to deter Absalom from going after David because he knew David was weak, and he was tired, and he was weary. So he sends word to David and says, run, man, get out. Get away from there where you're at. Run. So Ahithophel, his counsel is not taken. He's not taken. This guy is a wise man. And his counsel is not taken. Look what happens. Verse 22. And David arose and all the people that were with him, and they passed over Jordan that night. By the morning light, there lacked not one of them that was not going over Jordan. So Hushai, the Archite, tells David, get across Jordan, because they're going to come after you if they listen to Ahithophel. And the Bible says, and when Ahithophel saw that the counsel that was not followed, look what happens. He saddled his ass. He arose and got him home to his house in his city, put his household in order, and hanged himself and died. The guy was so upset that Absalom didn't listen to his counsel, that he went home, made sure everything was in order, made sure the house was clean, made sure all this stuff was right, and then he hangs himself. Suicide. So where's suicide? Where's that thing come from, man? It comes from the mind. It's in the mind. And as a child of God, your battle is your mind. So, preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. Don't tell me, man. I know exactly what you're going through. I know about the battle of the mind. Every one of us face that thing every day. And I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to win the battle of the mind. You're not going to win if you don't get in the mind of God. This is real simple. Very simple. Like he said his dad would give counsel. It was very simple. In the Bible, God makes things simple. And he makes it very simple. The battle is in your mind. You know, the Bible says, look at, take your Bible, look in 2 Timothy. Look at 2 Timothy. Real simple. We talked about this before. But suicide is getting rampant. Rampant. And people are thinking, well, the only way I can get out of my situation is kill myself. No, it ain't. Man, that's not the only way. There's other ways. If you ask God, he'll show you other ways. I mean, I can't imagine somebody doing something like that. I've heard about a woman committing suicide. And when I was in Bible school, a woman got so depressed, she took all her kids, and they walked down on the railroad trestle out there in the Pensacola Bay, or there was a bayou there, whatever, crossing over into Milton. And she walked out there with her children and laid them all on this train tracks. It was four or five of them. And she was depressed and discouraged. And she was taking some pills, and one by one, she put her child that was on her lap, she had him to sleep, and put him in the water and drowned him. And then she drowned herself. She committed murder, and then she committed suicide. And she just, you know, thought that was the only way out. And the devil will tell you at times that's the only way out. This is the only way out. There's no other way. You know, the Bible says we're in a battle. And the battle is with the world, the flesh, and the what? The devil. And the flesh is the one that battles the most. You got your mind, and it's a lot, and you tell people, at this church, we tell people all the time, read your Bible, pray, come to Sunday school, come to Wednesday night prayer meeting, come to Sunday night church. We tell you, come, why? Because the Bible says so much the more as you see the day approaching. And as the day of Jesus Christ approaches, the devil is going to get, it's going to get stiffer. The war is going to get harder. I mean, the Bible talks about the war of our minds. And the war, man, you go in, now you walk into the mall, you don't know who might walk in with a machine gun. You walk into the bank, you don't know who's going to walk in. You're walking around, you're praying. And that's why you need to pray. We got guys sitting at the church door now. I mean, churches all the country. Because why? People walk into church with a gun to kill somebody. Their mind. They say it's all in your mind. Yeah, it is. It's where your mind is. They say your mind's in the gutter, man. Get it out. Get it out of the gutter. Get it out of that. Get out of that depression. How do you do that? Through the Word of God. Now look what the Bible says. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse 7. I'm telling you, man, this is. I've talked to preachers all over the country, and they tell me, man, I'm counseling with people because they're thinking about committing suicide. They're going through divorce. They're going through this. They're going through that. They're thinking about doing something to themselves. I think, man, why don't you just give yourself to God? God, if you want to waste your life, why not put it into Jesus Christ, in the bank of Jesus Christ, and let him bring some dividends on it, on your life? People waste their life doing drugs, drinking, man, whatever it is, chasing after the almighty dollar. Now you said, we got to have money to live. Yeah, you got to have all these things. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The things that you have need of. Men, riding, you know, going to work, you're thinking about all the bills you got to pay. You think about this. The wife is thinking about things they need to get for the children and how we don't have this, how we don't have that. We need this kind of food. We need this and that. And man, all day long, you're thinking about stuff. There's 10,000 thoughts to go through your mind. And your mind is your battlefield. If you don't keep your mind in check, you'll be taking pills. You'll be going to other people trying to find counsel. And then you won't be satisfied because you'll see what everybody else has got. And you'll want what they got. And then you'll be depressed because you ain't got what they got. You'll fight in your own battles in your mind. Then you'll take it out on your spouse. You'll take it out on your husband. You'll take it out on your wife. Then you'll take it out on the kids because of things that you don't have. You think you deserve. Paul the Apostle. I mean, you look at his life. My Lord, brother, sisters, this guy, he was facing death every time he turned around. I believe Paul died in Lystra. I believe he died there and God resurrected him. When Paul came back, he was a raving man. He didn't care a lot where anybody fought. You know what you got to do? You got to divorce yourself from what people think. You know what? Like I said, these little girls and kids are killing themselves over somebody posting something on Facebook because they care about what everybody thinks about them. You got to divorce yourself from that. You got to say, I don't care what anybody thinks about me. I'm trying to do right. I'm trying to live for God. I'm just going to do right. I don't care what you think. I made up my mind a long time ago. I don't care what anybody thinks. I tell people, I don't care if you like me or not. I want you to like me. I hope you like me. Please like me. But I don't care. I don't care. Some of y'all might be sitting here right now. You might say, I don't like you. I'm fine. That's fine. I don't care. 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of what?
Fear.
People kill themselves because of fear. But of what?
Power.
You know, a person that walks in the power of the Holy Ghost won't think about killing himself. A person that's walking in the power of the Holy Ghost does not think about killing himself. They think about how they can do more for God. How they can give their life for God. But a person that's not walking in the power of the Holy Ghost, they're fearful about everything. I'm going to get cancer. You know, how many of y'all have thought about that? You start feeling funny. You go, I got cancer. I know I got cancer. I got cancer. I know I do. I'm just going to die. Well, hey, man, you're going to go to glory if you're saved. Amen. I mean, you're going to heaven. You're going to heaven before I get there. But we got fears that come in our lives. You know, they say the biggest motivation in man is man. They say one of the biggest motivations is fear. But the next biggest motivation is love. You find out what a man fears and find out what a man loves, you'll know the man or the woman. Now look at this. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a what? Sin is insanity. Sin is insanity. When you don't confess your sin, that's why I was so against that thing about not confessing your sin, because it's insane. And when you don't confess your sin, you're just heaping more and more upon you. And before long, the devil will be saying, and your flesh will be saying, just go ahead and do it. End it. Prove to everybody. Show everybody. Show them what they get off. Tell them what you can just snuff it in their face. The devil's slick. If I was the devil, which I'm not, you know, I might think I am, but I'm not. If I was the devil, I wouldn't change a thing. You think everybody's against you. You think the devil will tell you, everybody don't like you. I have people come to church, nobody likes me. Come on, man. You know, the Bible says, he that hath friends must show himself friendly. Are you friendly?
Right.
Are you talking to people? I mean, people that said that to me, I never see them go up and shake somebody's hand. They just sit there like a bump on a log. They expect everybody to come to their aid. They want everybody to come to them and talk to them. Hey, why don't you go out and make yourself friendly? What did he say? His pastor was a people person. He said, well, I'm not a people person. I bet you are in certain areas. When it comes to money, I bet you are a people person all the way.
That's right.
When it comes to money, you would say, God bless you, sir.
Amen.
Bible says this, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. If you have the peace of God, like I said, being filled with the Holy Ghost, that's peace, love, joy. And man, people are facing this stuff, and it scares me, folks. I stay up, I wake up in the middle of the night, and I'm praying for people. Not that I'm afraid. I'm praying for people. I pray for my children. I pray for my grandchildren. I pray for my son-in-laws, my daughter-in-laws. I pray for all of them that God, they wouldn't get to a point in their life they would think about doing some harm to themselves. I pray for you. I pray for your families. You know what? We occupy our time with things that don't matter. When there's things that really matter, people in the hospital, people going through trials, people going through this, and the things that really matter, we don't occupy our time with. Why? We say, well, I just don't want to think about it. Well, I'm telling you something. If you prayed about it, occupy your mind. They always say, idle mind is the devil's workshop. How many of y'all have ever heard that?
Yeah, amen.
Now, take your Bible, look in Romans chapter 7. Look at this, Romans 7. There's a lot to this thing. I'm telling you, man. After I was watching that thing about Anthony Corbijn, or whatever his name is, I know I'm not saying his name right, but I thought about that. I thought, here's a guy that had everything, and there's people sitting in church, and they can't get a blessing out of anything. They can't enjoy the Lord. They don't praise God. They don't sing praises to God, and they're thinking about doing some harm to themselves, or they're bitter at everybody, or they're mad at people because of what they got and they don't have, and they go through all this stuff that the devil uses against them, and they never have no peace in their life, never have no joy in their life, and they all think about, man, just end it all. Just end it all. It'll be over with. If you're not saved, you're going to be in hell. Say, can a person commit suicide? Go to heaven if they're saved. But that's not the way, the avenue the Lord wants you to take. Look at Romans chapter 7. Look at verse 23. It says, verse 21, he said, I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. This is Paul the apostle writing. Back up to 19. He said, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Here's the prince of the apostles writing this. Back up to verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. Then if I do that which I would not, I consent unto a law that is good. He said, now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So we allow sin in our life that dwells in me. It causes you to get in trouble. He says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh. So we spend all this time pampering our flesh, satisfying our flesh, trying to do all this stuff about our flesh. And he says, I know in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. When you realize that there in you, there's nothing good but him. In your flesh, you can't trust it. You can't trust yourself in broad daylight. I can't trust myself in broad daylight. When you look in the mirror, I hope tomorrow morning when you wake up and look in the mirror and go, what are you up to, you stinking dog? So I wouldn't talk to myself like that. Yeah, that's your problem. You think too highly of yourself.
Amen.
You think too highly of yourself. You think that your stuff don't stink. Amen. You think, I walk on water. No, you don't. He says, verse 19, for the good that I would not, would not, but evil is which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. See, there's more than the Ten Commandments in the Bible. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my words. If you love me, you'll keep my sayings. If you love me. So, look what else it says. But I see another law in my members. So what is your members? This. Hands. feet, eyes, mouth, ears. There's a law in my members, my flesh. Look what it says. I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bring me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. There's a war going on. There's a fight going on. And who's going to win? Who's going to win? Who's going to win in your life? Is God going to win? Or is the devil going to win? There's a war going on. That's, wouldn't it, take your Bible, look at Ephesians 6. Maybe that's why the Lord said this in Ephesians 6. I got to hurry, man. We're about, time flies by. Look at Ephesians 6. How many of y'all getting what I'm saying? You getting what I'm saying? How many of y'all want me to quit? You wouldn't do that. It says, verse 10, I don't have time to cover everything we need to cover, just to make it make sense. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. So you got one place that says you're warring against your flesh. Then it says you're warring against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So you got two fronts. Actually, you got three fronts. It says lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You got three fronts on which you're warring against. And if you don't get in this book and you don't spend time praying, guess what's going to happen? I had a guy tell me this week. He said, well, I haven't been in church four months, and nobody's called me. I said, well, so-and-so's called you. So-and-so's been there, talked to you, so-and-so. And I said, I named a bunch of people. He goes, well, nobody else. And I said, well, how come you haven't been here? How come you? He says, well, I'm working. I said, I rode by your house many times Wednesday night. You were there. You weren't in church. Matter of fact, you probably don't even give nothing to the church. Like Brother Kenny Baldwin said, you want to have a party, but you don't want to bring nothing to it.
Yeah. Amen.
And I love the guy. I love him. I want to see him do good. But what happens is the devil will start working in your mind, and you'll try to find an excuse to the way you feel, so it's always everybody else's fault. That's the old thing. You go back to the Garden of Eden. Eve says, Adam says, it's my wife that gave it to me. And then Adam says, it was the devil. You want to blame somebody for your problems. And then when you can't blame nobody and you figure everybody's against you, you think, well, I'll just show them. And the devil's whispering in your mind. Young people go through this. They go through when they're rejected by, you know, they like this girl, they like that boy, and they all that stuff. They go through it, and they start thinking about doing something harm to themselves. And if you could get this, it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take on you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand an evil day. Having done all to stand, The evil day is when the devil comes at you or the flesh comes at you and when the world comes at you and starts saying, hey, just do something harm to yourself. When God's saying, why don't you just give me your life? If you want to throw your life away, if you want to do away with your life, why don't you just give it to me? When you got saved, God gave you life, and the Bible says he gives you life more abundantly. And why don't you just give it to him? Why? Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. The battle is right there. And if you let the battle go on and not resist and stand against it and have a way to fight it, that battle gets into your heart. And it takes you away. And you start thinking, what use is it? What good is it? I couldn't read or write when I got saved. And the devil kept telling me, you're never going to get this. You're never going to get it. Quit. I remember falling asleep on my desk. I worked all day, 4 o'clock in the morning, go to work. Linda would wake up, and I'd have my head on my Bible laying on my desk. I said, God, I want to get this. I'm going to get this. I don't care. I want to know. Are you willing to fight for it? Are you willing to fight to know God? You say, well, I shouldn't have to fight to know God. No, but I'll tell you what, it is a fight. That's why the Bible says, draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to thee. Resist the devil. Because every time you try to draw nigh to God, something's going to step in front of you. It's going to try to hinder you. It's going to try to keep you away from God. And what you got to do is pull out the sword and say, get out of my way. I'm going to. Look what it says. It says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I got to stop. It says, stand therefore, having your loins girded about the truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation. The helmet is to protect your mind. You put the helmet on, it protects your mind. And the sword of the Spirit, you got offense and you got defense. You got offense and you got defense. In any battle, offense, defense. Football, offense, defense. Basketball, offense, defense. Hockey, offense, defense. Christian life, offense, defense. You're not going to get it. You're not going to get it by sitting watching the movies. You know all the movie stars? They're killing themselves. They're hanging themselves. They're overdosing on drugs. You know all the football players? You know all the basketball players? I like basketball. I watched the finals all night. I'm glad Golden State won. I'm glad. My grandson likes Golden State. Israel likes Golden State. I said, Curry? Whatever his name is. Curry, there you go. And they won. I watched it the other night. I like it. But that's not my God. That's not what my life is depend upon. My life is depend upon God and his word and wanting to see other people get rescued. The Bible talks about renewing of your mind. It talks about walking in, not in the vanity of your mind. Ephesians chapter 2. We walk in the vanity of our mind. But anyway, the Bible tells us a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You got to make up your mind whose side you're going to be on and who you're going to serve. A double-minded man is unstable. And when somebody's unstable, you worry about them. If they're unstable mentally, you worry that they're going to pull a gun out and they're going to do harm to themselves. Suicide is rampant. I've read just back in the 80s, they said 31,000 people a year kill themselves. 31,000. That's in the 80s. Here we are in 2018. I don't even know if they're keeping track. People overdosing on drugs. Folks, I'm telling you, we're in a battle. I mean, the presence of the devil is real. The flesh is real. That's why the Bible says, pray one for another. When's the last time you said, I know where so-and-so sits? I like what Miss Debbie said one time. She says, I haven't met the people in the, what, front? Or you said another word, people forward a few pews or whatever. I don't know. But we need to know each other and pray for one another. We need to get to know and say, and we come together on Wednesday night, we're praying for each other, praying God bless them. We got some graduates just graduated from high school. We need to pray for them, that they make good decisions. Our young people, God will help them make good decisions. It'd be a terrible thing to have a young person in our church commit suicide. It'd be a terrible thing. Why? Why? When your life is hidden, God. Say, can a person be saved and commit suicide? Yes. You know what? Samson is written in Hebrews chapter 11. He's in the heroes of the faith. And he wasn't eternally secure like you and I are today. He's in the heroes of the faith. So if you're thinking about, you say, well, I was just going to do that. Why not give your life to God? Why not say, Lord, my life is yours. He saved you, he bought you lock, stock, and barrel. Why not say, Lord, like that little boy of the lunch, and say, Lord, here, you multiply it. You know what you do? If you give your life to God, he multiplies it. If not, you'll stand before the Lord with nothing. You'll be saved. The Bible talks about, saved, by the skin of your teeth, basically. But you'll be saved, but nothing, no rewards. And have Jesus Christ walk up to you and look you in the eyes and say, you didn't love me? You didn't love me enough that you're willing to give this up? You didn't love me enough to get rid of that in your life? Come on, folks. There's more to this life than just living for ourselves. There's more to life than money, power, prestige, all these other things the world seeks after. And if we had time, we'd go through all them verses, but we don't have time. But I'm telling you something. If you're thinking about it, talk to me. You say, I want to have a purpose in life. I'll tell you something. You get saved, live for God, there's a purpose. There's a purpose. People are dying and going to hell by the thousands. There's a purpose. Your loved ones, your family are not saved. And you need to pray for them. Get down on your face at night and pray for them. Spend time. Stop trying to satisfy you where you'll never be satisfied. Try to spend time for your children, grandchildren, for your family. God help us. God help us. This thing has been in the news. Even the news media saying, well, if you're thinking about doing such a thing as this, call this hotline. I'm going to tell you something. The hotline we have is direct to God. You better pray. Ask God to use you. Ask the Lord to help you to take some tracks and go tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Like that guy kept beating on the door, and the guy finally says, I got to go find out who this is. There might be somebody in your path. I don't know why I preached this morning. I was in the shower, and the Lord spoke to my heart and said, do that. There's going to be somebody in your path, or maybe there's somebody sitting in here right now thinking about such a thing. When your life is hidden in Christ, you're not your own. The Bible says in Corinthians, it says, all things are yours. Wouldn't it be terrible to get to heaven that you find out you could have had this, and you could have had that, you could have had this, you could have had that, you could have had this, but you just did your own thing. As saved people, as eternally secure as we are, according to the Word of God, we should never, ever give up and think this is the way out. Our way out is looking for the upper taker. I'm not looking for an undertaker. It might happen in my life. I'm looking for the upper taker. I'm looking for the rapture, for the Lord to come. Say, what happens? Brother Bilbo told me, he told me this back in the 80s. He said, the Lord showed me, I believe that the Lord showed me that I'm going to live to the rapture. He didn't. If I don't live to the rapture, that doesn't change God one bit. He's coming. Father, thank you, God, for your mercy. Thank you for your grace.